Well, for those who picked the songs, you did a great job. Don did this to you? I find it amazing with just listening to the prayers that were offered up, and then we turn around and in that last hymn, your prayer was echoed with a declaration that God's doing it, that he's acting, that he's got this, as some people would say. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that interesting how he put that together using, as Paul says, old cracked vessels. Not, Don, it's not that you're a cracked vessel. Yeah. Father's Day is just special times, and we have special memories, and it raises up all sorts of interesting dynamics. You probably have heard about the young boy who was asked about the importance of Father's Day, and this was in Sunday school, and his answer was, well, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only the gift costs less. Yeah. Anyway, last Tuesday, I asked around the band of brothers table on Tuesday morning, how long had it been since each of their dads had passed away? You know, that was a pretty big assumption on my part, but given the age group, I kind of thought I was in safe ground there. But it was interesting, much to my surprise, that the person who had experienced the loss of the father with the greatest stretch of time, the most number of years, was myself. My dad passed away 31 years ago. And with each passing year, I miss him more. I miss him more. Fathers have a tremendous impact. Even when it seems or that they may not even be engaged, you know, we see in our culture that the tremendous loss and tremendous pain created by a father's absence. 85% of children who do not know or whose father is not in the household live in poverty. 85%. I mentioned a couple of Sundays back that this is going to be my first opportunity to preach on Father's Day in a while. And I was wondering, Lord, what would you have me say? What do you want me to bring to your people? And as I was contemplating that, my mind went in two different directions. Not that they were completely opposite, but rather it's just two things came to mind. One was, of course, memories of my own dad. And the second was to God's Word. It would seem obvious that Jesus' relationship with his Heavenly Father was more than significant. After all, they had known each other for ever since before the beginning of time. It's amazing to see how often he called upon his father, especially when you look in the Gospel of John. It blew my mind. He calls out to his father, he speaks to his father, or refers to his Heavenly Father 120 times. And I think that all of us have experienced something of what I call daddy's echoes. You may be asking, what do you mean by that, Brian? Well, it's really not that complicated. I'm talking about those times when you come face to face with a situation or there's something going on in your life and you hear an echo of your father's voice, of him sharing some nugget of wisdom, some sense of direction, some encouragement even. And they're more than just memories. Sometimes they come to us when we most need them. Other times we hear them and wince, you know, because you know, I didn't go that direction like he told me I should. And whether because sometimes they were critical, that can be true. Sometimes they trigger in us some regret. But there are echoes where Dad still reaches out to us. I think of those today who, like some I just mentioned, you know, those who don't have those daddy echoes, those whose father was not in the picture of their lives, whether because they passed away early or because they've left the family. I think of my own dad. He was 10 when his father passed away. I think of my grandson Watson, who has not known at all, and nor will he likely ever know his biological father. And we, those kind of folk certainly miss Daddy's echoes. Some of them don't know what they're missing. They don't know that they don't know. And it's a challenge then to step in and, you know, for me and Watson, my grandson, I've been the only father-like figure, male figure in his life. So y'all need to pray for Watson, okay? But we see in our culture the most heart-wrenching things happening because of a lack of a father's presence, much less the lack of his sharing those things that would later become echoes in a person's heart and life. You know, there's important things that we fathers share. You know, like righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. You know, God had something very special in mind when he created a family. And the scripture today speaks to that, and it's, as I thought about it, as I had thought about these daddy echoes, if you will, I was thinking, well, in this scripture, we have God's echoes as daddy. Look at that scripture. We find God's way of sharing the most important things. First, a little bit of what they are, certainly, what those important things are, but also how to do it. Things that will echo in the minds of our children, in our own minds, and in our hearts, in the hearts of our children throughout their lives. God has inspired, wrote Moses, he said, tell the people the most important thing to remember in all their lives. And Lan did a beautiful job of reading that to us. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength. And then he goes on to say, impress them on your children. Dads, be my echo. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. Talk about them when you're walking along the road. Talk about them when you lie down and when you get up. There's a lot there. There's a lot of influence. This past Thursday, I talked about trying to get in the groove again earlier. It had been my practice for a while to meet with my grandson on Thursday afternoons, and we'd just go do something or, you know, go grab a shake, whatever. It was just him. I would never grab a shake. But oh, well, you know, but as anyway, so, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, and we hadn't been able to do that in a while, and it really highlighted in my mind, we have a connection, but what kind of connection? How strong a connection? How deep a connection do we have, Watson and I? And so, and I've already completed this sermon. I've already prayed about it. I've already put it together, what I thought the Lord had in mind. And it remains pretty much unchanged. But what amazed me was how that prepared me for my time with Watson on Thursday. It was pretty incredible. I thought, God, who was this for? I swore. I heard him laugh. You know, for you, dummy. So it was very practical in that way. So Watson and I had a great time. And I think a part of that was because I was better prepared for that time. I was looking for ways to connect. So, as I read the scriptures, as we look at it, I think the first thing we see here is that the Lord would have dads be intentional. That this is not done by mishap. You pass along this commandment, and you pass along other godly wisdom. You pass along this way of life when you perceive that you have an opportunity to leave an impression, to pass along the echo of what your Heavenly Father has given you. And in doing so, you create an echo that will be ongoing. It is not without effect. It continues. There are times that sometimes we call them teachable moments, you know. A moment when you sense the young person or the younger person is more open to hearing than at other times. And of course, the best of these is when they ask the question, Dad, questions like these, Dad, why do we pray at meals? Yesterday, Christy, our youngest, she's the mom of Watson, and they joined us for lunch. We wanted to be true Texans, so we ate at Whataburger. And Becky and I did our usual thing. We prayed before we began to eat, and we know that our daughter is not open to that, and we know that Watson follows her lead, but the act in front of them left an impression. We did not set aside our practice of giving thanks because they wouldn't be open. Now, we didn't make it a big deal, but that is an echo. sometimes it can be less direct. I mean, things about why do we do things that other folk don't do? Or vice versa. Gives you a wonderful opportunity to share an echo of the Heavenly Father. And at times you got to make the opportunity. You connect a sunset with God's hand, you know, it being God's handiwork. It creates an echo when other vivid sunsets are then experienced. It has in my life. And we as parents with grown children are often aware that they're struggling with decisions or circumstances, and we try to offer support, we offer love, we also can offer nuggets of wisdom. So it's being intentional. It's being on the lookout. Second, it's critical for us to then be prepared, right? I mean, we need to be ready to impress these on our children. The words of this commandment need to become more to you than simply a commandment handed from on high. It needs to be a rule of life. And I mean that by in the way that the old spiritual formation fathers talked about a rule of life, that it was a thing that gave order to your life, that established a way of life. Something that has come to shape you in your thoughts so that you see everything else through this lens of what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. As I said, I'm scheduled for eye surgery tomorrow, getting a new lens put in the right eye. In a couple weeks, I'll have the left eye done. I do so because the cataracts are clouding my vision. I think sometimes Chris might say clouding my mind, but that's a whole nother matter. What helps us with our vision to perceive reality in terms of what God would have us see? Well, I think it's obvious. It's, first thing is persistent prayer. To have that connection with Him. To be in conversation with Him on a regular basis. To also have gained a clarity of mind and heart, because by meditating on what the implications are of loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I did something this morning that is a part of loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, of loving Him first. Before we were paid this week, thank you, by the way. After we were paid this week, the first thing I did was write a check of tithe to the church and to God's service and his work, recognizing that He's the supplier of all good things. I thank Him for His provision, and I want to be a part of His work. I'm loving Him first. There's an interesting context about what meditation means. You know, it doesn't take a degree in theology to get the implications of this. To see the simple truth that is really being communicated in that verse, to love God with our whole heart. Our heart's not to be divided. We're not to have competing passions. He's our one true God. Our whole mind. That is, we think of Him first, and we think of His ways first, and we allow Him to shape how we think about other things. and our strength. The word meditation occurs 8 times in the 119th Psalm alone. And meditation simply means this: to ruminate, to chew on it. I found it to be very, not just enlightening, but encouraging, strength-giving, to ruminate, to meditate on a verse for several days, even weeks. We lifted up a bunch of cares this morning, didn't we, in our prayer? What does it mean when we read that verse that Peter wrote, "Cast all your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you"? All your cares. Not just the ones that you think may be too big for you, but all of them. All those that you may think are simply overwhelming and too big even for God. Doesn't matter. Cast them on him. Cast them. Do it with reckless abandon. Say, "Here, God, it's yours. I surrender it to you." And as we think and meditate upon God's word, there's truths that arise for us in the moment that we've not before considered. Chew on them. The Psalms there, I mentioned it in 119th Psalm. The psalmist there chews on the word of wonder as he meditates upon God's works. And he then says, meditate on his precepts. Meditate on his decrees. Meditate on his statutes. Friends, there's a lot of chewing there. But all that prepares you and I not only for our life, but it prepares us to share godly, life-giving counsel with our children. Where do you begin? I was amazed this past Thursday that with Watson that we were talking, and I don't remember how it came up, but artificial intelligence came up, AI. And Watson has a keen mind, and it's directed. He has real affinity for science, and he's very interested in science. And this 12-year-old says, "AI terrifies me." "Oh, tell me more, Watson." He says, it can go so wrong so many different ways, Papa. And we talked about that for a while. And I said, "What do you think really, how is our intelligence so different from it?" And so we can have moral virtues. 12-year-old using the word virtue. Moral virtues that shape how we use our intelligence. Now, don't you think that might give me a door of opportunity? Where did that come from? Most of us heard comments about how in our growing up years we had better listen to our parents. The trouble is, I remember, I'm sure most of you remember, some of you were very godly when you were young. You didn't have any problem being receptive to your parents and what they were telling you. Some of you were like, "Oh, give me a break." I get it. Solomon, the wisest man who had ever lived, instructs the young at least 3 times in his little book of writings of the Proverbs, not only to listen, but to heed. That is, obey, to live as you've been told to follow your father's instruction. Has anyone here not had the regret of suddenly finding yourself thinking, oh, I wished I'd have listened to what Dad told me there and done what he said? Anybody regretted that they haven't done that? Good. Nobody raised their hand. Otherwise, I'd have to accuse you of lying. Of course, what I've shared depends on the depth of relationship you have with your children, right? Dad, what's your relationship with your children like? How close are you? How deep is that relationship? You know, the truth is that we male types are, well, we're just not so relationally oriented. And we're not as open with our feelings or being vulnerable. So I just want to share some words with you that might be helpful. There are three basic types or depths of relationship. This is not complicated. You don't have to have a psychology degree. But the first one would be that, you know, we all, if we have somebody that we're acquainted with, our acquaintances, well, it's kind of based on proximity. We're around each other. We might talk about the shallow stuff like the weather or work. We talk about the safe topics, right? That's what you share with your acquaintances. And then you can move on to companionship. You got the three musketeers, right? They trusted each other. They shared common goals. You participate in a team or in a task together, but you're still not really sharing your vulnerabilities or your emotional struggles. Ian Watson and I, that's part of what prepared doing the sermon ahead of time prepared me for my time with Watson. I told Watson, I said, I feel like you and I are somewhere between acquaintance and the companions. We're, you know, we haven't had opportunity to connect at a deeper level. And it's, I think you're right, Papa. Then there's the third level, being intimate. The real you is known by the real them. You both share things deeply. And sometimes, man, this is where we struggle, even with our wives. That's another sermon. But each person feels, in an intimate relationship, but each person feels a sense of freedom to share anything. Anything. My buddy Mike, who was the preacher on Friday, and he's now the chief of operations for our denomination. He told me one time in a meeting that they were talking about relationships, and you know, who do you have? They were asked, who do you have that you can share anything with? And, you know, I'm amazed at he and his wife Sandy's relationship. They have such a great, beautiful relationship, and it's a witness to God, and it is fairly easily seen by anybody who's around them. And it surprised me when he said, you came to mind even before Sandy. That blew me away. But these are all a result of respect and of building trust and having spent time together, a lot of time. So that's what's one of the things required of us to have that relationship that we want. So where are you? What kind of relationship do you have? I need to share three challenges very quickly. First, love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength means that you look to develop and build your relationship with Christ before any other. He's the priority. that you enjoy fellowship with him and communion with him, that you, your thoughts and feelings are shared with him and you're listening for his, that's where you want to build a foundation for then beginning to build a relationship with others. And so second challenge, men, I would say to you, build a relationship with another godly man or godly men. A godly, intimate relationship. One that you can share your common biblical beliefs, listen and encourage and even counsel one another. We remember that the affirmation that in Proverbs 27:17, that iron sharpens iron. You know, that willingness to go there. I've noticed that when iron sharpens iron, sometimes there's sparks. And sometimes it has a kind of a grating sound. It may even feel a little grating, but the idea is it truly makes us sharper, makes us more effective. It is so sad to know that so many men live in a chasm of loneliness. They're surrounded by people, but they're lonely. There's no one that they feel they can share their true struggles with, their heart with. Don't be one of those. A third thing I would share with you is share, as you've meditated on this scripture and others, and as you think about your life with God, share those insights with your children and your grandchildren. I told you that I asked Watson about, or you know, I shared with him what I thought our level of relationship was like, and he agreed. But the one thing that struck me is that I'm a little worried sometimes. I'm thinking, well, you know, he's bored or something with me. And he told me, he said, "Papa, I'm never bored with you. I love being with you. I get a lot from being with you." And that's true for any of us guys. Your presence speaks loudly. Share these things with your children and grandchildren. It's not just only for their spiritual health, but their emotional health. Share your echoes. Share your echoes. God has spoken into your life. He gave you parents who spoke into your life. You hear their echoes. Now share them with others and become or have daddy's echoes in their lives. Of course, around all this is the gospel. It's the good news that Jesus has come and he's given us this new life with God. And so share that God life with those that you know, those that matter to you. I've seen those that have been given more things materially than you can imagine, and yet aren't given what they desire most. And that's dad's echoes. Let's pray. Gracious God, how wondrous and amazing you are. I pray that you will use your scripture and your word this morning to be a blessing and benefit to those here and through echoes for those beyond. We pray that your Holy Spirit will use these to continue to speak into our lives through the days to come. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.